morning and welcome. This is the Mirror Breakfast, of course, where the big conversation continues every morning. And I'm glad to tell you that my guests are already here with me in the studio, and we will be discussing and particularly looking at food security. And now, early this year, the United Nations World Food Program and the United Nations Development Program, UNDP, awarded funding to 9 ventures in a competition aimed at strengthening food system in South Sudan. Now, the Ignite competition focuses on improving access to food and nutrition and empowering the most vulnerable producers and consumers. Now, I'm glad to inform you that we are now joined by one of the winners, James Nicole, who is the managing director of South Farmers Company, with us in the studio. James, good morning, and it's always good to have you on the Mirror Breakfast Show.
Thank you. Good morning to you.
Good morning. And also with us, I'm glad to tell you that we have Harel Manhad, who is the deputy country director for World Food Program. Harel, good morning, and it's good to have you on the Mirror Breakfast Show.
Good morning, and happy to be here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Now, let's begin with you, James, as a South Farmers. Just briefly tell us about South Farmers.
Yes, thank you. South Farmers is a local South Sudanese owned company. We are basically in the field of agricultural production. We run poultry value chain, production of poultry products in South Sudan. Mm-hmm. We are also involved in production of grain in Kajukeji area. And with that, we support smallholder farmers in terms of tractor hire services, mm-hmm. training, aggregation of grain from smallholder farmers.
All right. We'll talk more about some of your farming, but let's get to Harel with us here in the studio. Thank you once again for being with us. And this year, as I mentioned earlier, the World Food Program organized this particular competition. Just tell us about it briefly. What was it all about and why?
Yeah, thank you very much. Ignite was originally set up as a concept to try and look and invest in South Sudan's newest and brightest ideas, specifically aimed at tackling hunger, improving food security, and strengthening food systems. We realize that the youth of South Sudan is their most valuable asset, and we want to tap into those new skills of the youth. The youth we know have the good ideas, they have the enthusiasm, and they are looking for opportunities to take these forward. So we saw it as a perfect opportunity to try and improve on food systems going forward.
Yes, and James, you successfully participated in the Ignite competition. What was your award, and how has that changed your business?
Of course, I was one of the overall winner, mm-hmm. and we appreciated WFP and World Food Program Partnership in awarding us the funding, mm-hmm. and of course we have put the funds into action, and we are currently expanding or increasing our production of poultry here in Juba, and making poultry products available for our consumers in South Sudan. This is basically eat local, mm-hmm. Grow the economy of South Sudan. In the countryside, we are rapidly expanding our acreage, mm-hmm. For the production of maize. So by next year, we expected to have more output in the countryside, and also our poultry production in South Sudan, in Juba.
Great. And Harel, of course, the World Food Program has been helping a lot when it comes to food security here in the country. Tell us why this local production is very important, and why is the World Food Program supporting these local initiatives?
I think as a longer-term goal for WFP, we want to try and transition from doing direct humanitarian assistance. We want to help South Sudan become self-sufficient, and I think the best way to do that is to invest in the country. We know that the climate crisis is impacting South Sudan. We need to help farmers and communities transition and adapt to the new climate. And the perfect investment is to ensure food security through local production. And obviously the farmers and the youth are the way to go, as they're the most enthusiastic and well-placed to take this forward. Mm-hmm.
So this is more like teach me how to fish and not just give me fish every day. This is what the World Food Program is doing right now.
Very much so. And I think it's not only about teaching. I think the skills are in the country as well, but obviously we can add to those skills. But it's also the investment and the impetus that we need to get. Mm-hmm. I think youth are looking for opportunities, and it'll keep them out of trouble, or give them something to do, give them something to look forward to. So I think it's a perfect investment.
Mm-hmm. And how are you exactly investing in these local companies?
In terms of investing in local companies, what we're trying to do is encourage local procurement. So WFP, where there are potential, we will buy directly from farmers or through aggregation systems and cooperatives that are procuring food. As I think most people know, WFP needs to procure quite a substantial amount of food every year, in excess of 200,000 metric tons, primarily sorghum and pulses and things like this. The bulk of that is procured outside South Sudan. Mm-hmm. But if we can procure a lot of that inside South Sudan, then obviously we're encouraging business, we're giving opportunities for farmers to go forward. So we do definitely try and do that as much as possible where the markets allow that, where the farmers have the ability to move forward.
Yes, and James, just before we talk to you, Steele Carrer, how will you so far describe the food security situation in the country? Harald.
I think with the ongoing sort of subnational violence, with the unprecedented flooding that we've had for 4 years running, which has impacted over 1 million people, a lot of them are displaced, a lot of them can't grow their crops, a lot of people have been displaced by the subnational violence. This has exacerbated the food security situation. And we know that the number of people that are in need of food is increasing every year through the latest analysis we've done and the latest survey. So definitely it is a problem that is growing within the country.
Great. Now, James, how important is it for South Sudanese to take up agriculture as a business? Many people don't really seem to go into agriculture that much. How is agriculture as a business in the country?
It is true. It is true. 80% of our population live in the rural areas. South Sudan is one of the only country in the region that basically import most of the foods. I would say 98% of the food that we consume in this country are imported, and this is an opportunity for the entrepreneurs in this country. Basically, when there is demand, it is easy for you to go into production because basically the market is there. So it is important for our young people to take agriculture so seriously because there is money to be made. You have the market, so I would encourage them to go into production. I think my colleague here from WFP have mentioned that WFP imports over 200 metric tons of food, mainly grain, into the country to feed our people. And they are also saying that over 8 million people are in need of food in this country. So, and they have to buy this food from outside. So if we go into production, World Food will be able to buy the food from us and take to some of the parts of the country where there is food insecurity, and they can be able to support our people. So basically, let us produce food for South Sudanese.
Yes. And talking about food production as such, we have seen like some places, and many people have been giving the excuses on violence and insecurity. How is it for you? We know Kajukeji has also been affected by the insecurity of 2016 and probably disrupted agriculture and all that. But how is it so far?
We have indeed suffered a lot following the outbreak of the crisis in 2016. We lost everything. Our farms were destroyed. Our people lost their lives. And we are saying that it is time for our people who are in the camps to come back. We have seen a relative peace in Kajukeji. And the only way to stabilize the county is for us to engage into production and to preach the word of peace to among our people. And we also encourage the government in the county to ensure that they are able to provide peace and security to our people. So we are seeing changes. We are seeing improvement in security. And we expected this to continue in the foreseeable future.
Good. Mr. Harald, as someone working with the World Food Program, and you've seen South Sudan, of course, with the violence that James just spoke about. But let's talk about the potential, the agricultural potential of South Sudan. The land is a little fertile and it's very huge. Where do you see South Sudan when it comes to food production for itself and its people?
I think it's very clear that South Sudan could not only feed itself, but it also could become one of the breadbaskets of the region. There's plenty of potential. There's plenty of natural resources for farming, not only land, but also water. Of course, we have to look at some innovative. We have to adapt to the changing crisis caused by the climate change. We know vast areas are now flooded and have been flooded for 4 years and potentially could remain flooded for significant future, or maybe it may be the new norm. So we have to adapt to those. There are certain areas we know where farmers have had to convert for growing sorghum, mm-hmm. because these areas have become waterlogged and we're transforming to growing rice. And WFP supporting in conjunction with farmers and with FAO and FCDO, we're supporting farmers to transition to growing rice instead, which are ideally suited to growing in these these wet wetland environments. Mm-hmm. So there's a matter of adapting, moving forward, looking for new areas to opportunities. Obviously, there's the subnational violence is going to still continue impacting certain areas, and it's something that we have to work on is peace going forward. Mm-hmm. WFP has set up a few programs in certain areas where we are focusing a little bit on building resilience and building peace and reconciliation, and we've had a lot of success in those areas. I think one way we can do this is giving the youth opportunities in these areas to successfully create livelihoods out of agriculture, and this might reduce the subnational violence going forward.
And as World Food Program, the year of course is coming to an end. What are some of the projects right now that the World Food Program is involved in?
I think, as I mentioned, one of the sort of key successes we are having at the moment is the rice project. So we've got one of those. We've got another number of other livelihoods projects that we're working on to try and adapt to the climate. We've got floating farms that we're setting up in certain areas. Another thing we want to focus on in going forward is expanding our school feeding program. For example, in Walgek, where we have newly set up school feeding programs, we know we've encouraged enrollment in the schools, and there's been up to a 78% increase in enrollment. And we see the future of South Sudan in the education, giving the youth opportunities going forward. We do know that conflict and the flooding has upset livelihoods, so we need to work forward on that. Another area of success I think we've had is opening up access to communities. WFP is investing a lot in opening up the roads, opening up the waterways, giving communities access not only to services and support service, but also giving them access to markets so that the markets can function, they can access the areas where there is production, so that traders can bring goods into communities, and likewise they can take goods out of communities. Farmers, if they are growing things in communities, they need to be able to access the markets. So opening up these roadways and these waterways will help develop the economy and give more advantages to the youth.
Great. James, let's talk a little bit about your farm, the South Farmers. And at the moment, you say you produce poultry products into the market. What's your capacity? Can you feed Juba, let's say?
It's true. Our capacity is big. We can not only feed Juba, but we can actually feed the entire country. We have what we call a hatchery facility, modern hatchery facility in Juba. And if this facility is utilized to the maximum, we are able to produce over 4 million chicks a year. And that is basically enough to feed the country. The poultry products, particularly the frozen chicken that are being imported into the country, mm-hmm. they are about 2.5 million a year being imported. And of course, they are, you know, healthy concerns with frozen chicken, and also basically importing chicken means we are exporting our jobs into those producing countries that are producing those frozen chicken. So it is of higher interest as a country to support us to be able to scale out our production and to feed the people with locally produced chicken, and also to contribute to the growth of the GDP, gross domestic products. Yes.
Okay. So basically we can stop frozen chicken from entering the country,
correct.
But still we can have double the number that is coming at
correct.
The moment.
Correct, yeah.
Just take us through this year, 2022. What will you say are some of your biggest successes so far in the year 2022, and what are the plans for 2023?
Yes, one of the biggest achievements that we have made is the reopening of the crop farm in Kajokeji. Before the outbreak of 2016, we were cultivating over 1,500 acres. The restarting and the support from WFP would see us through to 2023, most likely we will double our production area from where we stopped in 2016 to hopefully 2,000 acres. So that is what we are anticipating. And we have also scaled out our production of poultry products in Juba, and we expected that to grow in 2023. So basically our poultry and crop production is moving forward very well, and we are hoping for the best in 2023.
Great. Mr. Harar, just take us briefly as well through your plans for 2023. What are you planning to do?
So 2023, obviously our core business of humanitarian assistance will remain. It will still be the bulk of our product, but of what we're trying to achieve in this country. But we want to do that transition to support resilience, to build the economy and help farmers of South Sudan, make South Sudan more thriving. So we're going to invest in a lot in our resiliency programs, which are supporting farmers, making communities more resilient going forward. So that's something that we see as key going forward. We will continue to try and open the access to the markets and the communities. We will invest more in roads. It's a big component of our project. We have obviously a deep field presence. We've got offices in 17 areas around South Sudan. We are investing in infrastructure projects there, and we want to continue that and expand on our infrastructure going forward. So that we see as something else. We want to look also at obviously the climate crisis and how that's impacting South Sudan, helping people transition or adapt to the changing norm in terms of the climate. So we'll be supporting farmers through that. And then, of course, we want to focus on peace and conflict resolution. We want to design our programs so they fit into that and contribute to encouraging peace and reconciliation in the community. So we've got a couple of programs that do focus on and build that into the existing program, and we're working with a lot of partners that are experts in these areas or are better placed to do that, and we want to link them to the programs going forward. We also want to do to support in training of communities of farmers, particularly with the focus on women going forward, to make them more resilient and able to contribute and be self-reliant, improving their livelihoods, and as we know, as we hear for building sustainable food systems, and throughout the whole chain, both from the agricultural production but also improving the systems, the access to markets, developing the markets, giving opportunities for that to be sold. But obviously we have an ambitious plan, and obviously it's going to be a challenging plan for us going forward, and with the support of our donors and with the support of the government, particularly the food and particularly with the Ministry of Agriculture, we need to take this forward going forward and try and build food security.
All right. Talking about humanitarian work in South Sudan. Well, South Sudan has been considered one of the most dangerous places for humanitarian workers in the world. Has there been any change in the year 2022?
I would not say there has been much of an improvement in 2022. I think it continues to be a very difficult environment to operate on. And it's something that we have been calling on the international community and on the government to try and make it to make it a more safe and a more secure environment, not only for the communities, more importantly, but also the humanitarian workers that are trying to assist the communities. We do face challenges all the way in the country in terms of local crime, but also in more organized sort of taxation of the community and of those that are serving the community, which is something that we need to address going forward.
All right. Mr. James, there has been a complaint this year from some farmers about cattle, especially here in the Central Equatorial region, where cattle invading farms and, you know, trying to destroy crops and all that. How is it with yourselves farmers' situation, and how should this be addressed?
Yes, our community in Kajukeji is one of those communities affected in Central Equatoria when it comes to the influx of the cattle. Number of farms or smallholder farmers' farms have been destroyed with this cattle. But towards the end of the year, we have seen some of these cattle moving out of Kajukeji. But of course, I think they are in the vicinity of the county, particularly in this area called Kaya. So they have not moved far. But we are encouraging the government to ensure that those who are cultivating should be given the opportunity to do so, so that they are able to feed the nation. And those who are rearing cows, cattle, they should also have their areas where they can do the grazing without impacting on food production, because without the food, even the cattle keepers cannot be able to survive, you know, on the cattle alone. So we have to, you know, ensure that each and every party is protected and should abide by the rules and regulations of the country. So we are calling for the government to ensure that cattle are moved away from the farmlands.
All right. Yes. Great, James. That's the time we have. Thank you so much for coming to Mirai Studios. But just before you go, what will be your concluding remarks?
I would like to, of course, thank our partners, WFP, for supporting us. It is a great opportunity that they have given us, and we are impacting already on our community, and we are encouraging our people to return to Kajukeji. Seeing our activities in Kajukeji actually have encouraged many young people who have come to our farm, and we are currently employing them, over 35 of them, and they return from the camps, and we expected this number to rise in the coming months. So I think it is an opportunity for us, and we would like to continue, as WFP representative said, we would like to continue production, and we would like the partners to assist us in Kajukeji to open up the roads so that we are able to get access to the market and we are able to increase our production.
Thank you. Thank you so much, James, for coming to Mirai Studios. Harak, your final remarks, please, or concluding remarks.
Thank you. Yes, I think obviously WFP's aim is to do it ourselves out of business and to cut back on our humanitarian assistance. So we are looking forward to working with the communities, with the farmers, making South Sudan more reliant on itself so that we don't need to provide that food assistance. So looking forward to it, and thanks to James and his contribution and all those out there like James who want to continue making South Sudan food secure, and we will hope to support them where we can. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Harald. Thank you, James, for coming to Mirai Studios. Do appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And yes, that brings us to just 6 minutes to the top of the hour. You're listening to the Mirai Breakfast Show, of course, where the big conversation begins every morning. And yes, that also is the end of the Mirai Breakfast Show for this particular Tuesday morning. Catch us tomorrow if you can. Same time, same program, same radio station. I've been with you, Sevid William, and earlier we were with Irene Lasso. Bye-bye for now, and do have a lovely day. The news is coming next.